It's good to see everyone. I hope you're having a great week. Go ahead, I'll be turning in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. All the middle school parents, please go ahead and go to your class. Thank you. I'm getting old. I don't remember stuff anymore. I'm going to get my AARP card next year. Now, I don't know if you guys know this. In my culture, 50 is huge. Where you guys need to be preparing yourself because you're going to throw me a huge party next year. Okay? That's the way it is. So I'm telling you, I'm giving you advance notice now. 50. It's a year from now. I just turned 49. This time next year, I'll be 50. And that's huge where I come from. And you want to really see me dance? That's the only opportunity you're going to see it. Because I am going to praise my God for being on this earth for 50 years. But let me not get ahead of myself because tomorrow is not guaranteed. I hope to be here this time next year. I'm excited. Like has been announced, Tom Brown is going to be speaking to us October 30th. It is a big deal because he's never gone to any other Atlanta congregation to preach. Okay? And I got to tell you how we got to that point. He and I were talking, actually, we were in Accra in West Africa over the summer. He says, hey, Richard, when we get back, I'd love for you to come preach for us. I said, no, we'll talk. So we came back, he called me up. He says, bro, I want you to come preach for us. So I sent him a text back. I said, Tom, I said, I've been inviting you for the last 5 years to come preach in our church. And you haven't shown up yet. Now, you want me to come talk in your church? I said, when you come to ours, then I will come to you. And he kept the text. And obviously, we finally talked. And I went over there, I don't know, several weeks ago. They have their midweek on a Wednesday night. And so last week, he and I were having lunch. And he scrolled up and he read the whole thing to me. I said, yeah, so when are you coming? So he had his calendar with him. So October 30th is going to be coming. And I'm looking forward to him being coming to preach for us that Sunday morning. Amen? Amen? I'm trying to get him to loosen up. And also mark your calendars. October 23rd, we're scheduled to have an outdoor service. And we had that on our calendar anyhow. And then I was at the father-daughter retreat over the weekend at the swamp. And October 23rd, we're going to have an outdoor service. Sunday Sessions walks up to me. He goes, bro, can we have an outdoor service together? I said, well, we were planning one for the 23rd anyhow. And so he now mentioned that there is a national park right up on 316 called, I think it's Fort Iago National Park, right off 316. So we booked a pavilion. I think it's called the Beach Pavilion. We're going to be there that Sunday morning, August 23rd, together with the Athens Church. Amen? So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be tremendous. Fort Iago National Park. It's a state park. Y-A-R-G-O. Okay? That's going to be Sunday, October 23rd. Amen? Had a tremendous time at the father-daughter retreat. You know, over the years, they have the father-son retreat. They have the mother-daughter retreat. And every year I get an attitude. Because wait a second, man. When are they going to have a father-daughter retreat? But I think they finally heard me. And we had our first one last weekend. It was tremendous. I want to encourage you, brothers, next year, those of you that have daughters, to go ahead and be planning on attending. It was a tremendous, tremendous time. It's funny, though. I didn't want to go to the swamp because, you know, I wasn't looking forward to sleeping on a bunk bed. I said to the girl, I said, you know, we can have our own retreat. Let's go to the Hilton or something, you know. They said, no, Dad, we got to go to the... But now I see why my kids love that place and your kids too. But it was all right, you know. Had a good time. That's all introduction. That's not the message. Tonight we're going to talk about spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. So we're spiritual beings, and believe it or not, all of us were a work in progress. God is transforming you and I through circumstances, through challenges, through things we face every day, so that we can become like His Son Jesus. Are you with me? That is the goal. That yes, you and I were baptized into Christ, but that was the beginning. And all of us, spiritually speaking, we still have a lot of rough edges. Are you with me? And we're on this journey, and one day we get to see God's face. But in the meantime, God expects us to be growing. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's where we'll begin. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 3. It says, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Here is Peter in his second letter to the disciples back in the first century. He starts off by reminding us that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. You know, when we became Christians, God made a deposit inside of us called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. He destroyed our sinful nature and gave us His Spirit. Now, the Bible does talk about how you and I need to fan into flame that Spirit. The Bible does talk about how you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Because God, although He dwells inside of us, is not going to force us to do things against our will. We still have a choice. Are you with me? But you see, we have the power for life and godliness because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And it talks about how He's given us great and precious promises, so that you and I may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. And then it goes on to say, for this reason, make every effort. There are a few times in Scripture where this phrase is used. The Bible talks about how you and I need to make every effort to keep the bond of peace. The Bible says you and I need to make every effort to live at peace with all men. But right here, it reminds us that we need to make every effort to add to our faith all these other qualities. Are you with me? Peter begins with a command to grow. That is not an option. He says we need to grow in grace, and we need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says we need to add to our faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. He's not talking of intellectual knowledge. He's talking about spiritual knowledge. Spiritual insight. Self-control. Perseverance. Godliness. Brotherly kindness, love. He says, if we possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our Christian lives. Yeah. And so the question, brothers and sisters, we always constantly have to ask ourselves is, am I growing spiritually? Yeah. Am I growing? Am I learning new things? Am I putting things into practice as I read them, as God talks to me, as you read God's word every day? You see, the responsibility is up to us. Are you with me? I've made this point before and I'll make it again. When we stand before God, when Jesus comes back and everything ends, okay? And we all stand before the Son of God, we're going to give individual accounts of ourselves. God is not going to call us for, okay, the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, get on that side. So and so Christian Church, get over here. It doesn't work that way. I have no idea if it's going to be in alphabetical order. Then I get to be one of the first ones. But that's okay. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be by, you know, the age when you lived or whatever. But it's going to be individual. That much I do know. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Are you with me? You and I are responsible for our own growth. You see, the blessings we enjoy in Christ include not only redemption, but renewal. The blood of Jesus redeemed us from our empty way of life, praise God. Amen? Amen? But that's not all. Constantly, we're being renewed, the Bible tells us. Though outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Amen. We're growing spiritually. Amen? Amen? You see, on Sunday, it's going to be the 10th anniversary of September 11th. You know, the Pew Research Center did a survey, and 97% of Americans knew exactly where they were when they heard the news of September 11th. Sunday is going to be the 10th anniversary. This time 10 years ago, people were going about their lives just normal. When you were going to get on a plane, you didn't have to take your shoes off. You could carry anything you wanted. Nobody was going to confiscate your Swiss Army knife. But things have changed. This country has changed. This world has changed. See, the question I want to ask us as we continue tonight is, 10 years ago, what were you like? Now, I know there's a lot of baby Christians in the house. I'm not talking to you guys. Okay? Because the changes that you've made have been very obvious, and praise God for them. But some of us, we've been in the church for a long time. What were we like 10 years ago? As a church, 10 years ago, we were very loving and friendly. You say, Richard, what are you saying? Are you saying we're not loving and friendly now? Yes, we are. But compared to 10 years ago, we flipped. I mean, the days when, you know, you come to Sunday service and you see somebody you don't recognize and you walk up to them immediately and say hello and ask who invited you and you're trying to set up a Bible study right there. What happened to those days? So a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in the back when the elders are teaching on Sunday mornings. I was in the back, you know, we had that break to go get our kids. And I saw, you know, there was this... I saw them walk in, these visitors just sitting there, and I had to get up, go do something in the sound room real quick, and I came back. There was a brother sitting right behind them, and he just sat there. And I'm not going to name any names. You know, I went over to the visitors, hey, how you doing? Good morning, welcome, how you doing? You know, who invited you? I'm glad you're here. Now we're so into ourselves. And we forget that, you know what? You may never get a second chance to make a first impression. Somebody may come for the first time. I always tell people when I invite them to church, listen, come once. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back. Somebody comes into our church, we need to be looking out for them and saying hello with a big smile on your face. That was what we used to be. We used to be that way. That used to be us. Now, we're just talking with each other. And we're totally oblivious to the people that are visiting. It shouldn't be that way. Amen? Amen. We know how to do that. Right. Oh, let me talk to this sister. Oh, sister, this happened. This is not the time. Call them up on telephone. Amen? When we come together on Sunday, it's time to worship God and to reach out to each other and to reach out to other people. You know, it's funny. People always come up to me after church. Christians. Oh, bro, can I talk to you? I say, uh-uh. Come talk to me in 15 minutes. I want to go out and say hello to people. That's what you need to be doing. And then we'll talk afterwards. Amen? We were very evangelistic. We got so much pleasure just from reaching out to people because we understood that we're living in a lost world. Were you doing those things because you were going to be asked? Or were you doing them because, you know what, you had that conviction that, you know what, I can make a difference in somebody's eternity. Does that make sense? We were mission-minded. We gave our money. We prayed for churches. Amen? Amen. You say, well, Richard, what's our mission? I'll define it for you again. It's to see Gwinnett County won over for Jesus in this lifetime. Amen. We're living in the midst of 800,000 lost souls. That's a lot of people. You know, again, sometimes people come and ask me, are we going to go plant a church in Columbus, Georgia? You know what the population of Columbus, Georgia is? It's a third of this one. Why would I leave 800,000 to go chase 300,000? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying we're not going to go there, but do you see what I'm saying? We got the people right here. Two cities and municipalities in Gwinnett County. Still the second largest county in the whole of Georgia. We still have the largest public school system in the entire southeast of the United States. But see, that used to be our focus, and so we'll pray about these things. We will look for opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. Like I said, talking about last week, our job is to sow the seed. That's it. And my Bible promises me that God's word will not come back empty until it has achieved the purpose for which it was sent. Are you with me? And so all we need to do is continue to sow. Because you never know when that seed is going to come around. Are you with me? We didn't tolerate sin in our lives. Oh, that's a big one. All of a sudden, everybody's quiet. We didn't tolerate sin in each other's lives. When we saw something, you put that right, bro, we need to talk. What's going on over here? It shouldn't be that way. That used to be us. You know, one of the ways I always measure myself, honestly, because again, the Bible does teach that I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm always constantly asking myself, if I was being reached out to right now, the way I am, and if I was studying the Bible right now, would I be baptized? I think you need to ask yourself that question. Are you totally sold out for Jesus? Is God the most important thing to you? If you were studying the Bible right now, would you get baptized? I always ask myself that, constantly. Because we get only one chance to make it to heaven, brothers and sisters. We already have our salvation, but we need to walk at our salvation with fear and trembling. Because Satan is trying to get you out. Because he knows your punishment is going to be worse than if you never became a Christian in the first place. Amen? We used to love to be discipled. Now, yeah, back then, you know, you were assigned somebody, but those days are gone. Now you got to go after it. Where's that learner spirit? Where is that you constantly asking questions? What happened to that spirit?
A disciple is a learner. Guys, I'm still learning. That's why I've been here 25 years. Like I said, I went to preach at Tom Brown's church the other night. I was asking, so bro, how do you think I did? Give me some feedback. When I saw him again, I asked him. I said, come on, Richard, drop it. I said, I'm very serious. Tell me. I'm not just saying that just quote unquote to be humble. I really want to know. Amen? And I think I can say I know how to preach. But my attitude is not, well, I can't learn. Because we need to continue to grow. Amen? Constantly. Church, I believe it's time for us to get our mojo back. Amen? It's time for us to get our mojo back. You know, I think our campus students are really a great example in this because, to be quite honest with you, they just don't know any better. I mean, they've been back at school now 3 weeks. The first week at Bible Talk, they had 42 people. 42. The following week, they had 47. This past 2 weeks, they had over 60. And do you think it's me backing down their throats to be inviting people? No. They're going out and doing it. They want to see that campus turned upside down for Jesus. You know, it's amazing. When I was a young disciple, obviously, I was also converted on campus. One of the knocks used to be, yeah, the young people, the college students, the young people, they're the ones that are fired up. The older ones, they're just there. It shouldn't be that. I take that as an insult. I take that personally. I'm an older fella. I'm not just sitting around. I got people in my home, reaching out to people, studying Bible with people. And it's not just because I get paid to do this. No. I love doing it. And it's always amazing when you sit down, you're studying Bible with somebody. Believe it or not, one of the brothers brought this up. Even this week as we're talking to this guy, it's like you are being converted yourself all over again. It's exciting. Because here you are, you're showing somebody the scriptures, telling them, you know, you need to work on this, you need to change this. And you better not say that if you're not doing that. And so you better believe people. I say, you know what? I need to repent. I've not been denying myself. Yeah, and you're going to call this person to be denying themselves? Come on. And it's amazing, when you get back into reaching out to people, all that stuff, all those juices start flowing again. Amen? Amen. It's exciting. But right now, we got to hold ourselves accountable. Because I'm responsible to getting my soul to heaven. You're responsible for getting your soul to heaven. But it's through spiritual growth, that's how it happens. If not, the Bible says, like it says here, so that it will prevent us from being ineffective, excuse me, and unproductive. Spiritual growth is a choice. It doesn't happen by default. Now, physical growth happens by default. Whether you like it or not, you're gonna grow physically. Now, as adults, we've stopped growing this way, okay? And so whether you like it or not, as an adult, if you're not careful, you're gonna keep going this way. Okay? I know what I'm talking about. All right? For us men, our public opinion, you know, starts to get out there. That's what this is. Public opinion. But you see, physically, that just happens. But you see, spiritually, it doesn't happen by default. It's a choice that we have to make constantly. It requires two things. Number one, it requires diligent effort. Look in John 6. It requires diligent effort. In John chapter 6, it's just one verse. Actually, let me back up and read a few verses. Verse 25, John 6. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Verse 27, this is what I want to point out. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Amen? There are two things we can be working towards. Physical food, the things of this world, or spiritual growth. But it's a choice. It doesn't just happen. And if we're not careful, all you and I will be concerned about is the day in and day out of grinding this life out. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm sorry. God did not create you. God did not create me so that I can just get up in the morning, go to some job, say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to somebody, do some assignments, come back home, take care of the family, go to bed, get up the next morning and do it all over again. I'm sorry. That's not life. God put us on this earth so that we can become more like Jesus. And believe it or not, all this life is practicing for heaven. Brothers, let me disappoint you. I'm not sure we're going to be watching Super Bowl or playing computer games or kind of in heaven. I'm dead serious. I bring you up because you think, oh man, when is he going to keep quiet today? You know, the NFL starts tonight, man. I can't go back. I can't wait to get home and go watch the game. Who cares? But I bring that up in terms of where our minds have really drifted. Who cares? What do you think we're going to be doing for all eternity? You think he's watching football? I don't know what Bible you've been reading. It's not going to be all these mundane things of this world. It says here that we shouldn't work for food that is going to spoil. All this stuff is going to spoil. It's all going to burn up. Are you with me? Where our focus needs to be on our spiritual growth. Food that cannot spoil. We're talking eternity. That's what it's all about. But it's work. Jesus says it requires labor. It's work. It's going to take effort. Let nobody fool you. It's not easy. It wasn't designed to be. Amen? Look in Philippians chapter 2. It's going to require diligent effort. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 12, I just referred to this passage, but I want us to read it. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? I'm sorry, even those of us who are married, when we stand before God, you're not going to be able to say, hey, Lord, well, hold on, my wife didn't do this, or my husband didn't help me with this. I'm sorry. We are not going to have that excuse. Because this passage doesn't say, you know, said I should walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. I need to walk out mine. Amen? Amen. Now look in chapter 3. In verse 12. This is Paul still talking. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. You see the work? You see the labor? Toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ, God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's an incredible prize awaiting you. There's an incredible prize waiting for me. Heaven is going to be incredible. I can't wait. That's what gets me excited. Even much more than Florida football. Now, some of you may find that hard to believe. When we start talking about heaven, oh, baby, we're talking about God. Now you got my attention. I can talk about that for 4 weeks in a row. Nonstop. An incredible prize awaits us. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you. I'm supposed to give all that stuff up for this rubbish in this life? Are you kidding me? It shouldn't be that way. We got to be pressing on. It requires regular spiritual exercise. I'm looking forward to the marriage getting away next weekend. It's all. There's nothing else we do in this church all year that can even compare to it. I don't know about you. It's not like getting away out of your natural environment. I still remember several years ago when, you know, okay, we're going to a place and over here, this. There are no telephones, no televisions. It's like, excuse me? But it's amazing. We went there that first year and just had a wonderful time. No internet, no phone, nothing. Because we had time to connect with our spouses. The service, the food is just gravy on top. I mean, beautiful place. I'm looking forward to it. I know some of you have never been. This is going to be your first time. You're in for a treat. You're going to be convicted. I promise you. But you're in for a treat. He said, oh, it's a lot of money. You're telling me your marriage is not worth $389 or $355, whatever it is? I'm amazed that you would even say it out loud. I mean, it should be that, you know, we make the announcement, and believe you, in the first week, all the rooms are gone. He said, oh, this is coming up. Oh, I can't go because of this. I can't go because of this. Well, that's when you move your schedule around. Because this is important to my marriage. Amen? But I'm looking forward to it. Sam Powell is a great preacher. I think we're going to learn a lot. Cynthia Powell is just awesome. And I forget, I think it was about 18 years ago, 17 years ago. I was downstairs in this hotel in Manila. We're having a conference. And Sam came in. He had gone for his morning jog. He comes in. He's sweating. I said, hey, Sam, how you doing? So I walk up to him. He's a big fella. He's buffed up. I said, Sam, how can I get to look at you? How can I get to look like you? And, you know, he goes, you do stuff like this every day? Then he goes, for 20 years. I was like, wow. I mean, Sam is in his late 50s right now. He's buffed up. But it's through regular exercise. It doesn't just happen. Amen? Amen. And number two, and this is the exciting part to me about spiritual growth, we have God's assistance. We're still in Philippians. Look back in chapter 1. We have God's assistance. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Watch this. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So it's not as if we're trying to do this by ourselves. God, through His Spirit that lives within us, wants to complete what He started. But a lot of times we hold Him back. We prevent Him from really working. Are you with me? God will complete the work if you and I would let Him. Amen? You're an awesome individual. You're a child of God. You got to see yourself that way. God placed you in that office building to make a difference. God placed you in your family to make a difference. God placed you in that neighborhood to make a difference. And God wants to complete His work in you and in me. Are you with me? How do you handle when people come up to you and say, you know, bro, you could be this. Bro, I see this in you. Do you walk away going, yeah, I know you're just trying to encourage me, but I don't see myself that way. Other people see the potential in you. But the question is, do you see the potential in yourself? I remember as a young Christian, people always walking up to me going, are you ever going to the ministry? And I'm like, no. I've seen the minister's job and I don't want it. I'm going to make a lot of money and give it away. But I'm not going to the ministry. But people kept on encouraging me. Saying, you can do it. I lacked faith. But it's amazing. When I look into my Bible, you see all these guys that God used. In the beginning, they also lacked faith. You know, if they came up to me and say, hey, you know, we think you got the potential. I say, yeah. As a matter of fact, you're the 10th guy to tell me this week. Aren't I awesome? Then we got a problem. Because that communicates I'm so full of myself. I can't even see straight. Does that make sense? So there is humility involved. But it's okay to not have enough faith in the beginning. Because God will add that in there. And then some. Does that make sense? But God wants to complete what He started in us. Every single one of us. We're not alone as we do this. Amen? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the very end here, talking about later on we're going to get a resurrected body and all that. He goes, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Oh, this is a very encouraging scripture. You know, sometimes, you know, the devil comes and lies to us and says, look at you, you're wasting your time. You're not going anywhere. Just go around in circles. Look at you. All your Christianity, all you putting God first, what has it gotten you? My Bible tells me that my labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain, amen? You are going to see the results soon. You will see some results here, but most of it is going to be on the other side. Amen? You know, if you get sick, and you go to the doctor, and he tells you, I got bad news. That's not a good thing. When the doctor says, we need to talk, I got some bad news. Oops. You and I need to, obviously, we get braced for what they're about to tell us. The thing is, as we get older, we're going to have more challenges with our health, with different things. I remember, I think it was a little over 7 years ago, when I was told about this position. The first person that I spoke to about it, even before I got here, was Phil Proctor. And
He was serving as an elder at this time, in this congregation at the time. A lot of us know right now he's battling cancer. And we need to continue to pray for him. Even before I got to Atlanta, Phil and I, we hit it off on the telephone. And just talked as if we'd known each other forever. He's just that kind of a guy. And, you know, coming and now seeing him physically, I was like, wow, look at him. He's a big fella. Great brother, great heart. He's going through chemo and radiation right now. Be praying for him. Another one of my best friends, Nietzsche, he and I were in Africa for many, many years. He now leads the ministry in Brooklyn. He's recovering from prostate cancer surgery right now. He had a rough time of it. It's 50. Yesterday I got a phone call. Another best friend, Hervé Florent, who serves in the church in San Antonio with Mike Tolliver. His wife was just diagnosed with MS. She's been battling it for 15 years. She didn't even know. And he was saying to me, he said, you know, Richard, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day after day. And it's funny, he went through this later, you know, so-and-so's battling this. I've been through this, you know, two knee surgeries, and this. The only person missing was me, in terms of me not going through anything major. I can't take that for granted. I got to be thanking the Lord. You know, a few weeks ago, I went for my yearly checkup, and the doctor said, wow, look at your numbers. Everything is dropping, you know. Your back cholesterol is going down. You know, from the last test, the last results, they were all in red, and all of this time, they're now in black. I said, doc, you need to print that out. I need to take this home. I need to go show my wife. I said, this is good news. This is the best news I've had in 4 years. I was excited. I still have it. I may go ahead and frame that thing. I don't know. But we're getting older. The thing we cannot do, though, is get older spiritually. The fact that you've been around for 15, 20 years doesn't mean that you're growing spiritually. We got to make the effort. We got to make sure that we're drawing closer to God. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, am I passionately and totally still in love with God? Or have you forgotten where you came from? Have you forgotten the way things used to be? You know, we can never forget the way we used to be. Because we need to learn from our past so that our present and our future can be different. 10 years ago, this was what Lower Manhattan looked like. That was what it looked like. It's a beautiful skyline. And you know what happened? I can't believe humans are capable of this. But it's amazing, when this happened, you know what happened in this country? People came together. People were praying. I was in Lagos at the time. I'll never forget it. And I remember trying to call New York City, trying to find out, you know, that the disciples were okay and everything. Eventually, I got through after several hours. And I remember Jim Brown, one of the evangelists in the church in New York City, saying, wow, Richard, you're not going to believe this. People are coming together. They're praying. You know, I said, Jim, it is not going to last. He says, what are you talking about? I said, I saw the same thing when Al-Qaeda set up those bombs in East Africa. We were living in Nairobi at the time. As a matter of fact, the building next door to that embassy, I had gone to pay my credit card bill the day before it happened. The morning that situation happened in East Africa, we were on our way to Rwanda to go visit the church. Landed in Rwanda, went to the hotel. I don't know, it's my DNA, man. I got to listen to CNN for at least half an hour. And there was on the, like, bomb blast. I was like, what?
trying to get a hold of the church. We couldn't do it for 24 hours. Left the next day to come back home. Same thing happened. People were coming together. People were coming to church. But it fizzled out. And I said, Jim, the same thing is going to happen in America. It's amazing, even right now in this country, to see how divided we are. Let me be honest with you guys. I'm a foreigner. I wasn't born here. It's very discouraging. I'm being open. I've had thoughts like, you know what? If this continues like this, I'm not sure I can live here. I want to go somewhere else. Like people are bickering and us always at each other. This is not good. But I know you and I, we have the answers. Through Jesus. We got a lot of work to do. Amen? But you see, when that happened, America would have said, you know what, sorry, well, I guess that what's happened has happened. And just left it that way. It's been amazing. This week, there's hardly a station you're going to turn to where they're not talking about this. I saw a program, was it last night, talking about some of the first responders, just the respiratory problems they've had from breathing all that toxic stuff. It was very sad. It's very touching. But you see, people decided it wasn't going to stay that way. Because if it stays that way, then the enemies have won. And you think, well, America's recovered. America is still recovering. Do you know how much money has been spent from 10 years ago recovering from this? And that was their goal, is to totally mess up this country and its economy. The question is, are we going to let them succeed? We said, no, we're not going to let that remain that way. And so people started evacuating the place and built. That's what it looks like right now. I remember shortly after that was our wedding anniversary, 10 years. And, you know, I remember Juliana says, hey, come to America and the president, come spend money here. I told her, I said, on our honeymoon for 10 years, we're going to New York. And that's exactly what we did. And we went to Ground Zero back then. It was very eerie. It was like going to a cemetery. That's what that is. But that's what it looks like right now. That's exciting to me. There's a whole section where, you know, they have a museum and this reflecting pool. That thing is huge. On the whole side of it. They're going to open it up, I believe, on Monday. People can start going and visiting. But you see, just like physically, that we will never forget this. I'm saying to us spiritually, let's not forget where we came from. The enemy, our enemy is relentless. Satan is not going to stop. One of the brothers made the point as we were talking when we had an all-night prayer that Satan doesn't take a break. That's very profound. The devil never relents. And as horrible as this was, and it was horrible, judgment is going to make this look like child's play. We're not going to be talking 3,000 people. We're going to be talking billions with a B. I mean, you need to go study out God's wrath in the scriptures. That's why we get out there, we grow, we stay faithful to God, and we're trying to help other people. Because we remember where we came from. We remember what we've been through. You know, again, I was watching another documentary on PBS. And one of the flight, what do you call those people? At the check counters,
that checked in two of the terrorists. He had to quit working 3 years later. He's still having a hard time. And people have been trying to reassure him that, you know what, how could you have known? Something like that never happened in this country before. But he says, I checked them in. As a matter of fact, they were late. So, but I checked them in. They had closed the flight. I mean, can you imagine? But you see, we got to remember things like that so that we can learn from them. Amen? But the same thing is true spiritually speaking. This was horrible. And I thank God those guys are not going to be able to do anything even close to this ever again this lifetime, because we've learned our lesson. Sometimes I hear people complain, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this before I get on the plane. Yes. And then some. If they tell us to arrive there 2 hours before so we can get whatever, then that's what we need to do. It's amazing how people complain. I mean, look at that flood from, where was that? That hurricane that was going through New York a couple of weeks ago. Some New Yorkers were complaining. Oh, Bloomberg, you made this sound so desperate and nothing happened. Tell that to those guys in Vermont and Maine. And if things were bad, they would have been complaining. I personally believe God heard a lot of prayers and diverted a lot of stuff. But all I'm saying is, guys, God expects us to be growing spiritually, but it's entirely up to us. Amen? God is not through with us yet. Okay? He's not through with you yet. How do I know you're still here? You're still breathing. When your job is done, believe me, we'll all be there. We're going to miss you. I'll do the funeral. We'll put you down 6 feet under. And we'll see you on the other side. Okay? That's just the way it is. When my time comes, you're going to come. You're going to cry. You're going to put me 6 feet under. And I'll see you on the other side. Amen? But God expects us to be growing spiritually. So that's what I want to share with us tonight. I know Sunday is the real anniversary. And I would say probably one or two sentences about it on Sunday, but that's it. Because to me, I see the bigger picture. This is nothing. I'm not trying to undermine this. But this is nothing in terms of what's about to happen. We just don't know when. Amen? Amen? If these guys had known what was going to happen that morning, I promise you, they would have stopped it. And so, you and I can prevent a lot of people, including ourselves, from facing God's wrath. Amen?